News Radio KMAN, good morning. It is now 8:03, and Brandon, we have him on the phone. State Senator Tom Hawk is joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to see and hear both you, Dave, and Brandon.
We like to be heard.
Yeah.
That's true.
We like to be heard, or else we wouldn't be in this silly business. And speaking of silly, you and I were talking about how challenging our world has become just within a couple of weeks' time.
Something I think a lot of us probably should have better anticipated, that these kinds of things could happen, but yet it still is very strange for all of us, just relative to how we spend our days. And certainly our heart goes out to the people who are sick and the people who are not able to open their businesses, and the people who've lost their jobs. It's an unbelievable time, and yet I think we have to remain optimistic that we're going to come out of this on the other side and hopefully have some better habits on top of that.
Well, there are a lot of things that that we are learning, you know, and, you know, take into consideration that we've had a little bit of concept of what is going to be the work that's going to be done here at the MBAF laboratories in Manhattan once they're up and operational in 2023. This is the kind of thing that, you know, they hope to try to prevent from happening.
Yes, and certainly I think a lot of us, and I know before we got MBAF, I don't think I'd ever heard the word zoonotic. And recognizing that diseases can jump from animals to humans, and we need to be prepared for that and to know what to do and to hopefully be able to develop vaccines and treatments in much more rapid fashion than we're currently doing. And that's my fondest hope for NBAF. And their security measures are unbelievable there, both at Roberts Hall at the BR3 and what we're going to have at NBAF.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things and that you're seeing as a legislature, because you'd be very, you know, you'd have your hands deep into the legislative session right now. But how are things happening in Topeka, and, well, not necessarily in Topeka, wherever all you legislators may be, with today's technology and circumstances?
Well, it's clearly slower, because the last 2 weeks would have been very long days and long nights, because we would be closing out a host of bills which are highly likely not to be passed. So all of us fortunately finished the session up over 2 weeks ago on March 19th and came home. I think we dallied way longer to get the budget done than we should have, and the budget's far from perfect, but it never is perfect. And now I think most of us are taking calls from people at home. I've gotten several emails and calls about things that, one thing just very simple, what do we do about 2020 estimates? A lot of small businesses and people that owe extra tax have to make estimates, and nobody thought about that. So my accountant brought that up when I was trying to get my income tax done. And so the governor has visited with the Department of Revenue, and we don't have to do those estimates. At least there's going to be no penalty for small businesses, and they can make those payments on July 15th, just like our income tax, both federal and state's going to be done. And There are a host of things. I just got a Rich Vargo letter, who really thinks we need to seriously think about having mail-in ballots for this next election, the presidential primary and election in November. And I think he's right. He makes a very good case for that. But the bill that would have allowed that, or would have allowed the one-time registration for advanced voters, is not there. So there's a host of things that I'm getting information on and forwarding that to the governor and her staff, just to try to make sure that we can be as flexible and nimble that we can come out of this pandemic crisis and have our economy and all the rules and regulations that government needs to have actually work so we can come out of this.
Well, that was going to be my question. Actually, I was going to ask you about the need for all mail-in voting here, because now, I mean, it's still a several months away here from the general election. Do you think there would be enough time to get everything sorted out for something like that?
According to Rich and my letter that I got from him, he thinks that can be done, and I think most of the Kansas County clerks and their Association of Election Officials are in favor of that. There are a few counties that do not feel like they're prepared to do that, but many counties have had special elections where they've done mail-in ballots, and he thinks if the Secretary of State's office would agree to that and or the governor and legislature to do that, that we could pull that off. He says if we can't come to that conclusion, and that raises another point, is the legislature really going to meet this year before June 30th? And I think that's really up in the air. We originally are scheduled to go back April 27th. So being able to pass a bill that would make that legal is probably a remote possibility. But I think we could make a decision to allow registered voters to apply for advanced mail ballots for all elections instead of just one application. Right now, only the sick or disabled are allowed to do that. So I think Rich is very good at knowing his job as county clerk, and Dave would know that, having worked with him very closely when you were county commissioner, Dave.
But, absolutely, and he's long been an advocate for mail-in balloting for lots of different reasons, and you know the timeliness of this kind of, you know, reinvigorates that topic.
It certainly does, and I think all of us recognize that one of the fundamental pieces of our democracy is having people take their civic responsibility and vote, and making it as easy as possible for people to vote, fair but easy. And I think the mail-in ballot actually does boost that participation. And when you think about it, we go back so many years in the ways that we're organized in government, from where we have county seats and the fact that those were designated based on a horseback ride in from the farm to get your business done at the courthouse. And the same way, saying we only have one day to vote generally, and that's often a work day. So that may be one of the positives that could come out of this, if we have a better, more modern way of casting our ballots and getting more people to participate.
You know, if you think about it, the census right now would be kind of a good example of how mail-in balloting could work.
That's right. And I'm not sure what the percent is, but we sure have a lot of people encouraging people to do it. Thank goodness for my wife, Diane. She said, we've got to do that. And I said, go ahead. And she did.
Now, okay, so here's a census-related question, and I'm going to say that this is specifically regarding, you know, here in Riley County, because the idea of the census is to have that information culled from who is living in that place at the time the census is issued. So typically, that if you are a K-State student, you're here in Manhattan,
right,
you would mark on your census card that you are living in Riley County. Boy, is that likely going to have a big impact on Riley County or City of Manhattan numbers, because that could take us down that 50,000 mark potentially, which could be, you know, very, very challenging financially, because that would mean less federal dollars could be coming through.
No, you're exactly right. And we just changed that law last year where we would count people at Fort Riley and at K-State. And it actually was raising our census about 10,000 people, because we actually provide services for 10,000 more people than we've gotten credit for on the census. And it actually cost the Secretary of State to pull that out the way we were doing it, I don't know, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. So we wanted to cut that expense at Secretary of State's office and actually more accurately reflect. Now, some of my rural legislators were not as happy because they wanted to count those students in their district.
They need those numbers too.
It looks like they're going to get their way, and I'm not sure what that will do. We do reapportionment next year in terms of setting up Senate and House districts. So my guess was we would go back more to the Riley County, Geary County for my Senate district, and Clay County would probably move into another Senate district. So it's looking less likely that that might be the case. But that's yet another impact of that, not just the economic piece of it.
We have been doing these types of interviews regularly with our legislators here on Friday mornings, and we're visiting today with Senator Tom Hawk, whose district includes, was it the 22nd district? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. District includes Riley and Geary counties. And Tom, what are you hearing from some of the health leaders in the community with regard to COVID-19?
Well, I've been trying to tune in to Lee Norman and also to Julia Gibbs. I think we're very lucky in our county to have Julie. I think she's doing a superb job, and likewise, our Secretary of Health and Environment, Dr. Lee Norman, was such an excellent choice. He's had experience in these kinds of healthcare crises. He's worked at KU Med. He's had international experience. And I think they got on this ahead of time. And I think there were some legislators who were unhappy that schools were closed. Now it's looking like that was one of many very good decisions that has hopefully put Kansas in a place where we can lower that curve and not overwhelm our hospitals and keep the number of infections down. I still have my fingers crossed. So I think some of the people that I worked with in the legislature who were very hesitant and called this overreaction are now recognizing that what seems like overreaction is actually the right size of reaction when we have a crisis like this.
Well, we have certainly all learned a lot in the last 30 days, haven't we?
Unbelievable, Dave. Brandon, it's, you know, I think we keep saying the same thing over and over. Never would have imagined that this was actually something we would have to deal with. And several years ago, I got hooked Sunday nights watching Walking Dead, and I think the thing I liked best about it was could people find their humanity in that type of a crisis? Now, that's a zombie apocalypse, and it's actually pretty sick. But as I think about the lessons of humanity, I think this is our lesson of finding our humanity to help one another, and how do we keep the society going, the economy going, and how do we still keep our humaneness out there in front of us.
One of the things, and I've just got one final question, Senator, before we let you go today. This is a campaign year. It's an election year. You're running for re-election. How does this reshape your mindset going into a political campaign as a candidate?
You know, that is really a great question. I'm glad you asked me that. I'm going to have to think about it because I've been focused, and in fact, the reason I'm running is I don't feel like I should bail out on the people of our district and our state by having somebody new come in who doesn't understand the budget and the complexity of all the businesses and the state agencies and how they interact and the people who make things happen, as well as my colleagues in the legislature, that some easy to work with, some not so easy to work with, but constantly trying to get things done, particularly for K-State and our school districts, our Chamber of Commerce in Fort Riley. And so I haven't thought about it because my favorite, but the hardest part of it was you need to go door to door and let people know who you are. It's looking like that's not going to be a very likely way to campaign. So I think all of us are going to have to think about how do we use social media and how do we communicate with people? How do we use radio? Has always been one of my go-to places. I like doing those little 30-second ads and
Zoom campaigning.
Yeah.
You could invite voters into a Zoom campaign event.
I think that would be great. In fact, I laughed about this. I've been on time for church 3 times in a row because all I have to do is grab my cup of coffee, stay in my pajamas, and turn on my computer. And I actually made a Rotary meeting this week, which usually I'm in Topeka, so I don't get to Rotary. So
yeah, I saw the review of yesterday's Rotary meeting. That's done on video now. Senator Hawk, thank you for joining us this morning. And by the way, for whatever it's worth, you now hold the record for the longest daytime morning show interview that we have had with a state elected official. Jerry Moran, last week we had him on for about 25 minutes. So it's different. He's a different category all by himself.
To you and Brandon. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day and keep up the good fight for us. Senator Tom Hawk joining us here this morning on News Radio KMAN. We're going to be checking in with Mitch Fortner in our morning sports along with our forecast on the way.